Hello and welcome to the Hugh Hattrick Show. And tonight, my special guest is none other than Jeff Coglough from the Sim Cafe.
Good evening, good evening. Great to be here, Hugh. Great to be here.
It's great to have you back on the show and to see how things are going for you. Now, every time I put on YouTube, I see you streaming. If it's at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock at night, you're doing a big stream. And normally I set a Corsa Competizione because you're doing a lot of LFM and community races. But tell me, how have things been the last year? Because you've kind of come back on stream and the things are really are growing well for you.
Yeah, thank you, Hugh. Well, so yeah, like I said, wonderful to be here again. It's been a while since our last chat, right?
Yeah.
And it's been an interesting few months. I started streaming again back in kind of like March, I guess. So it's been 7 months, I'd say, just over 7 months. And I took about a year and a half away from streaming, I think, pretty much, the last time we've spoken. So, yeah, been a bit of a gap. And now I'm back. And like you said, it is definitely focused on ACC. Mm-hmm. And the LFM series, which I'm not sure how much you know about, Hugh, but it's been around. Well, funny enough, it started after I had stopped last time. And it's got bigger and bigger, and it's kind of kept ACC going, really.
Mm-hmm. So, there's been quite a few new, like there was the American pack that was launched, wasn't it, for that? So it's that was quite interesting because, I ended up buying that. Although I took about a year and a half off as well, to be fair. But I still played here and there when I could, when I wasn't driving a bus. Out there trying to race cars. But it was just the timing of it all. But it was mainly, of course, I bought myself a PS5 last year. So then I started to do the Gran Turismo 7 on it and things like that.
Yeah, you did, Hugh. You got pulled away from the PC world, didn't you, unfortunately?
And then I tried to redo my PC because those who are watching, Jeff is fantastic at setting up PCs and helped me get all my PC working, get my OBS working. It was like a dream. I knew exactly what to do. And then somehow I managed to make a few mistakes when I was trying to do OBS or change some settings, thinking I was doing it right. And it all kind of collapsed around me. So therefore, I had to go back to streaming from the PS5 itself rather than doing it from the computer. But Jeff is a great genius at sorting all these things out. So we will have to get that sorted again. So that
go easy on the terminology there. I wouldn't call myself a genius anytime soon. But I do, I'm a bit of a geek. And when people are struggling a bit with technology, it does make me sad. So I want to make sure that everyone's getting the maximum out of it, right? Because there's a lot we can do with tech. So, I'm always happy to help anyone I can with tech issues, really, and something I've been doing a bit in the community recently as well. So if Poop is watching, he knows what I'm talking about. I'm always happy to help with the tech side. So if you want to get back up on with the OBS streaming queue, just let me know. Give me a shout.
Yeah. I'll just say as well to people in the chat that feel free to have your questions ready and we'll put them to Jeff in a few minutes. But you've done a number of things that are very interesting. I noticed the Pass It On kind of program. Tell me a bit more about that.
Yeah. So the Pass It On project, Project Pass It On. Well, it's out of the idea that one of the big things for the Sim Cafe, right? TSC, we've got it all here. One of the big things is getting more people into sim racing, right? And when you look at it, there are a lot of what you would call barriers to entry, right, for getting into sim racing.
Yeah.
Especially if we look at the more hardcore element of PC sim racing, for example. There are a lot of barriers to entry. One of those is, of course, the actual PC itself. So having a gaming PC, if you Google gaming PC on Amazon, you'll see things up to £3,000 or £4,000, and it can very quickly put you off, right?
Yeah.
If you go onto forums online for sim racing on Facebook or Reddit, for example, you'll see lots of people talking about how their machines are underpowered, and these machines will have graphics cards worth £2,000 to £3,000 in them, and they're sitting there saying that they're not getting enough. And if you were to read that as a newbie, that might put you off a little bit, right? So that's one of the barriers. I think the other barrier to entry is, of course, the wheel and the pedals. Having the right wheel and pedals, having a set of wheel and pedals, because as you just said, you bought some recently, they're not cheap by any means. And so I think there are a lot of sort of barriers for getting into sim racing. So the Pass It On project is all about helping people get into sim racing. So what we did was in the community, we kind of clubbed together. There's some very generous people in sim racing. And we've got together a PC, which Alicia, my girlfriend, built, funnily enough. That's part of just the only video I've made so far on the channel, which we're getting there, team. We will make more videos, I promise. But, you know, it's a work in progress. So, yeah, she built the PC to kind of show how easy it is. Right. You know, someone who'd never touched a PC before, like yourself, to be fair.
Yeah.
We did it with a PC that cost less than £250, which is pretty cheap. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
We then got together a very cheap wheel and pedals from eBay, but we were lucky enough to actually receive some donations from the community for wheel bases and pedals. So we put that together to an even better package now. Like you said, we did get a wheel stand together as well, because I think that's quite important, right? You know, using desks is not easy, and pedals moving around, it's not the same. So we've got the PC, the wheel and pedals, and the wheel stand. And the idea is that if someone is interested in trying out sim racing, they're more than welcome to try it. Now, there are some logistical nightmares involved with this, of course. You know,
it's try to pull stuff out, I suppose.
Yeah, it's preferable if people live, you know, somewhere near the southeast of England and can sort of drive and collect it if possible. There are ways of getting it about, but that's probably the easiest right now. A bit of a roadshow kind of thing. And yeah, it's just for people to try it for a month or two in their own home and really get a feel for sim racing. Because, you know, if you go to like an event and you're all there, there's lots of people, and you're put in this unfamiliar rig in an unfamiliar setting, and you get 5 minutes and then you leave, you don't really get an impression of what it's like.
Yeah. Right?
The real sort of beauty of sim racing, if you like, the kind of competitiveness. So I think giving people the chance to try it in their own homes for a little while and seeing if they like it or not, I think is actually a really great way to help more people get in. It doesn't guarantee anything. It doesn't mean we'll have a flood of sim racers suddenly, I don't think. But, you know, when we talk about getting more people into sim racing, there's obviously things we can do. I think this is a good example of that on a small scale. So, yeah, here we are on the Pass It On project. It's currently with a father and son somewhere in Surrey, I believe.
Oh, fantastic.
The child was really interested in doing F1 on the PlayStation, a bit like yourself. And, you know, thinking about getting a bit more into it and getting a Fanatec and so on, or some bigger wheel. So I've given them the rig to try. He really liked it, but interestingly, he's still definitely a fan more of F1 than he is, for example, ACC, the younger son. But the dad definitely loves ACC.
Yeah.
And you can see the age group differences, right? And the thing that people are, you know, drawn to. And I think that kind of GT racing style is clearly an older gentleman's game for a lot of people. Whereas Formula One is certainly something which catches a younger crowd at the moment. So, yeah, we're seeing a lot of interesting things with this project. You know, like I say, it's not to guarantee that people will definitely go into it after that. It's just really nice to give people the opportunity, I think.
Yeah, exactly. But it's quite interesting, because I was playing F1 2023 last night, and I just got it quite recently, because it came down in price, because it's like £70 for a new game now, which is getting really quite high. So I waited and I got it for £44 on Amazon, which is not too bad. It was a kind of secondhand or used, nearly new type thing. And it works absolutely fine. But what I like about it is that it actually does give you a sense of atmosphere. Because I was playing at Saudi Arabia, you know, at Qatar last night. And because you've got the headphones on, that they've done something with the noise and made the car, they made the engine much, much better. And as you rev up through, if you go up through the revs, it gets stronger in your ears, and it really sounds quite good. And then you've got the crowds and the tarmac, everything seems just like you're watching it on TV. It's I think they've made a big step forward with that. So I think from that point of view, it's quite immersive. Which is quite nice in the game. You know, it's quite, because for a long time I've struggled to get into games that I really enjoy. I've struggled even with Gran Turismo 7, because it's a different driving dynamic on that now. But with F1, you can just kind of jump in and have a go, and it's quite fun. You know, it's kind of, if you're used to playing them before, you can kind of pick up from where you left off. But it's still a challenge. It's still quite good.
Yeah.
Because I mean, obviously you've been growing your channel over the last 7 or 8 months since you were streaming again. How do you find, because it's you never want it to be a hard slog, is it? You want it to be something that you really enjoy doing.
That is honestly a very difficult question that I'm constantly asking myself. There are lots and lots of ways you can look at your sort of YouTube channel, career, community content, whichever way you want to frame it. I don't know. There's a way to sort of call it. But for me, it's a tricky one. Obviously, you know, being in full-time employment, for example, I need to obviously focus my energy towards that ultimately, right? That's my career and my job. Doing sim racing, it is, I mean, the market I'm in particularly, for example, with ACC, is very niche. Right, PC, ACC, it's a small market, and there's not much room for many players, and the sort of effort required to get into that market is quite intense, right? So I think for me, you know, in terms of growing the channel, you know, I don't put any numbers on it. Well, you could say that obviously I put a 500 figure on it because I've been promised rewards and goodies at that level. But, you know, for me, there's no real number in terms of what I'm hoping to achieve or what that means for me in success. It's just more about doing the right things and hoping more and more people get interested in it, right? And I think, you know, there is definitely a strong kind of community focus to what I'm doing, right, with the Sim Cafe and kind of building that up. And, I think, you know, turning it into a slog, I've seen lots of people kind of burn out through content creation, right? And that kind of comes from a place where, you know, you're self-employed kind of thing. And everything you do, the more you put in, the more you get out. And you can never really switch off. And so I think it becomes like a bit of a kind of heavy mental state, right? Where you're constantly under pressure of yourself all the time. From the moment you wake up till you go to bed, there's that thinking of, well, what else could I be doing? What more can I do, right, to improve my lot? So I think there is definitely balances there that you have to kind of work out for yourself and work out what's relevant. And that's different for everyone in all stages of their life, right? I mean, you have young children. So, for you have to have certain, you know, things that take priority, of course.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
If you were a 17-year-old content creator yourself, you might find you kind of throw caution to the wind and just kind of plow in, right? And be up all night editing and, you know, all things.
20 years ago, that's what I was doing. That's what I was playing. I was playing all sorts of PlayStation games, Gran Turismo, till 3 a.m. and then turning up to work at the call center at 8.
There we go. Right. You see the folly of youth, Hugh. So, I think there are definitely different things that are relevant for different stages of our lives. For me at the moment, I have a relationship and so on, and family and friends I want to maintain and make sure that takes some priority. I want to be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very important. No matter the level, whether you're someone who's doing, you know, full-time, really going for it, like your Super GTs out there or Jimmy's, or someone in between, or even someone at the bottom, which is me, really, right? I haven't got many subs or anything. So I think consistency is key. And whatever I do, I want to be able to maintain. So if I only do one stream a week, then that's what I'll make sure I do, one stream a week. I won't go below that. At the moment, I've said, you know, I've set myself kind of 3 or 4, really.
Four is
the normal. And the idea is I don't really go back from that at any point. So as long as the TSC is active, as long as I'm doing the Sim Cafe, I want to make sure I maintain that level. So the burnout thing, I'm always wary of it, you know, the grind.
Yeah.
As you said, you definitely, the more you put in, the more you get out. You want to do it in the right direction, but you know, pretty much, you can do things and get more from it in this content world. So I'm always wary of burnout. I don't want to burn out. I think the final point on this for me is the kind of the issue of, or the balance of, what is essentially a hobby.
Yeah.
Something I enjoy as an escape. If that turns into a grind, as you describe it, a heavy push, is that even an escape anymore?
Isn't it I think that's why for me, when I was working with the long shifts, I just played the games really just for light relief, because then you could just, I'll just go in, and I didn't have the pressure of having to do interviews and having to put on streams, and it was actually quite nice to relax and just go and have some fun. I did miss it, though. I did miss, because I do miss the people that watch and ask questions, and whenever I did something, people would say, oh, when are you coming back? And I go, and it was kind of ringing away in my back of my mind, thinking, come on, Hugh, I need to just try and sort something out so I can come back again. Because it is fun, as you say, it is a community. And people, it's almost like an alternative to going to the pub, I always think, wasn't it? Now you meet your mates here online, and you talk away, and you support each other, and you have fun, and you have a laugh, and then you watch them race. So it's a great thing. And then you have your community nights when you can come in and race. In fact, I've watched your ACC community races, and now you're up to sometimes 30 or more. In your
races. cheating a little bit, Hugh. A server is open, there's no password, it is a free-for-all. There is definitely, like, there are ways you can manage that so that you will get more people on your server on ACC. I've got a bit of experience with that now, right? If you use a popular track and you get at least, I would say, probably, I think the tipping point is normally 6 or 7, I find.
If you
get at least 6 or 7 people on a server, and there's about 15 minutes left of qualifying, people will do a server search, see that you've got a rough amount of drivers on a half-decent track, and join. Right? Yeah. People are always looking for public lobbies all the time in a player base. So I just create lobbies that are vaguely attractive. So the community, as it is always growing, which is really nice to see, does join in now, and we get, you know, up to 10 to 15 people now from the community joining, which means the server fills up easily. When you go on now, you see 15 people on a server, you normally join it before it fills up, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's kind of where, so there's definitely a tipping point in ACC, which I've come to, you know, understand a little bit from years of playing it and, you know, knowing what works. And so, yeah, it's quite easy to fill a server. Of course, it is a public lobby, Hugh. And you know what happens in public lobbies?
Yeah, well, you know, can I let you in on a little secret? Me and my son Nicholas used to watch quite a lot at nighttime, just before he did his bedtime stories. And we would have a fun thing to say, how long will it be before poor old Jeff crashes out after the start of our race? Because it was because I think we'd watched it two or three times. And then Nicholas had said, Jeff normally crashes after about two laps. So he's always saying, and I said, go on, we better not tell him. We better not put that
in. Yeah, keep that one to yourself. Yeah, cheers. You've done well then. You good secret.
It can be a bit mad, especially like Nürburgring GP track, isn't it? The first corner, that's always crazy down the bottom of there. It's all, you just know what's going to happen.
It's worse than Monza T1 now, let's face it. So yeah, that's an interesting one. So there's I do get it quite a lot in the LFM lobbies as well, right? So I don't know if you're sometimes watching those, but that's ranked racing, and again, people will make contact. Now, as you know, I try and laugh it always off. I always try and laugh it off because I think we just said in my last point, it's meant to be an escape, something I enjoy, and if the thing I enjoy is really frustrating me and winding me up because someone hit me, then. I don't think I'm really achieving my goal of actually being happy. So, while I'm not at the top of the esports ladder, I don't think I should be getting too upset about the results of my races, right? And also to remember that in real life, you know, incidents happen in racing all the time. It's just normal, right? And if you bring it into the virtual world where it's much easier to have an incident with no consequence, we should expect more. So, it definitely happens. And like I said, you know, these are public lobbies at the moment. The community isn't that big. I don't have a password on it. So anyone can join. Now, I do desperately try and encourage new drivers and people that are there to, you know, do the right things and be nice and remember that this is just an open race. There's no championship. So, you know, really finishing it is kind of the goal here, if we're honest, because where you come and might be irrelevant in the end. And I do try and, you know, reiterate that. And, you know, the vast majority do want a clean race if they can find one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I also know that, you know, it is easy to kind of in a public anonymous setting to just go, crash into someone. What does it matter? Spin out, hit someone. You know, people can easily be like that, which is part of what I'm trying to get rid of by creating the Sim Cafe and having a, you know, community where people will know each other and race accordingly. Yeah.
I think as well, because on ACC, the consequences of crashing into people are far worse. Mm-hmm. It's not like GT Sport where you can, there's ways where you can punt a little bit here and there and not really get, not really see things happen or not actually see big consequences. But I've always found if you punt somebody, even if it's a by accident thing, you just run, break too late and hit someone, you tend to get off worse almost in terms of it can be, you know, you'll get damage. It can be quite tricky. But people will still try. I'll quickly ask a question. We've got Sean here. We haven't seen Sean for a long time. It's good to see Sean back there in the chat and to everyone who's watching in the chat there. It says, great to see the interview shows back with these guys. Yeah, so there'll be hopefully many more to come. But it's fantastic having Jeff on the show. And one of the questions I saw that Sean had earlier was your background picture with all the maps of all the tracks.
Yeah.
Where did you get that?
Because
I think Sean wants one.
I think this is a lot more famous than I am, quite frankly. I think this would do most of my views and subs to you, if you're wondering. If you want to get anywhere, just somewhere on that wall next to your legend.
Yes, I think I'll have to go with it,
The camera's going all funny now, isn't it? There we go. So we've got, around the outside, that is the Isle of Man TT course.
Right.
So the thick line around the outside. Now, I'm assuming it's not to scale. Now, the inside tracks are all to scale. I don't think this outside one is. That's the only one that isn't. Yeah, so we've got the Isle of Man that runs all the way around the outside. There's large, quite a big post. You can't see it all. In fact, I can turn a little bit here. There we go. It goes all the way over here, right?
Yeah.
So you have to mind the light a bit. I'll try to turn the light off. That make it any better. There we go.
Yeah.
So you can see all of the map. And then down here, lovely information about the location, when it was open, the length, all that. That's great. That's all along here. Mm-hmm. We've got, obviously, the Nordschleife up here, the big one, right? Going around there, and the little Nürburgring track. We've got Le Mans here. You see the Mel Sons straight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We've got the weird Avis loadout thing from Germany, that straight line, very weird one. Yeah. We've got British tracks up here. You might notice a few silhouettes if you look closely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
A bit of Silverstone in the corner. Where's good old Brandy?
That's
Brandy down there. You can't see. Yeah, yeah. Brandy's there. Little loop.
Oh, yeah.
We've got US tracks. We've got French, Italian, Australian, Eastern European, German. It's a wonderful, wonderful poster. I got it from, let's put it back to me now. Hello. I got it from a website called Redbubble, which you may know.
Redbubble.
Online retail. It's been around a long time, Redbubble. Yeah. It's kind of a bit like Etsy and a few of the others that I think small creators or marketplaces can put their stuff online, basically.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's really wonky now. Let me sort that out. So there we
go.
So it's a circular camera. I can't really tell you where it is, I'll be honest.
Right. No, that's perfect. That is perfect.
There we go. So it's on Redbubble. If you go on there and type in circuit map poster or anything like that, you'll find it. It's worth every penny.
Definitely. So what's been your most enjoyable races over the past 7 months of streaming? Has anything really stood out for you?
My most enjoyable races. Well, let's take it back a bit. So LFM is low fuel motorsport, right? And this is the big new thing for ACC, right? And it's kind of saved it, really, because it creates ranked racing. It gives you, I don't know how much you know about it, Hugh, but you get a rating and a safety rating. And also you need a high enough safety rating to do each race. So there are kind of standards, I guess, that are meant to be. And, you know, you also get put into splits. So if 200 people sign up for an event, they simply split you by rating, right, each way down. And then, of course, that does mean that you could be the, you know, in a group of 30 cars, you could be the 30th fastest car in reality, right? Mm-hmm. You could also be the first fastest, depending on where the split falls, just the way the cookie crumbles, isn't it?
That
can create quite a tough condition, because you could often be at the bottom of a split just by luck most of the time, really, and really struggling to get in the position. And with LFM, to get a positive influence on your rating, you need to finish in the top half of the grid, basically. So top 15. Yeah. That's how it works. Okay. So it's definitely a challenge on LFM. I really enjoyed it. And there was my first victory, which was at Zolder quite a few months ago now, probably back in, like, I don't know, May, June, I think it was. And I was P2. I took P1 on the second turn, but stayed ahead of him. And then for the whole race, I had someone about 1 to 1.5 seconds behind me. Very stressful. They really gave up. I couldn't miss a turn. I couldn't miss a braking marker. I couldn't do anything. And there were times when he was also, you know, trying to speed up a bit, and I could feel it. And it was very, very, very tense. And I managed to pull it through and get home. And then I had, I went to Crete at the end of September. And just before my holiday, I had two races at Imola in one night at LFM, and won both of them.
Wow.
Slightly contentious. The second one, there might have been a slight love tap for the lead, although I dare say I was infinitely faster than the gentleman, but that's another story. So I kind of enjoyed those races as well. And then most recently, I had a 6-hour endurance race with Ian and Barry, which we can talk a bit more about in a minute. I really love endurance racing. I mean, you talked about communities and hanging out with friends, right?
Yeah.
Racing can get a little bit solo.
Yeah.
You know, when you're on your headset and even though you're in a community,
you're
still on your own a bit, right? And for me, team racing is always better than solo, basically, especially for people at our level. The 6-hour enduro, I really enjoyed that. We had a good result. We worked really hard together all the way through the 6 hours. We all learned a lot. It was our first time racing together, and that was really good fun. So yeah, I definitely enjoyed the 6 hours of Silverstone recently. That was a brilliant race.
Yeah, I remember doing a 24-hour race doing the coverage. I was doing interviews it was a major one they did at Spa about 3 years ago, and that was great fun. It was certainly a one to keep you going, and I had to do it at different times in the day. It was like 12 o'clock, 4 in the morning, and 8 o'clock. But it's quite, you know, obviously we were watching it all the time. And it's a real thing. You know, they were swapping drivers every so often. But it was great fun to do, actually. And it was a close race right the way through. And you do get a kind of feeling that there's something big, quite big, you know, when you do an event like that. Especially the big, you know, 6-hour and 24. I find I'm better for short. I think about an hour.
No, don't give me that. We'll get you on an Enduro soon, all right? If I can get you back on the PC, on ACC, we'll get you on the Enduro, no doubt. Because with LFM, it's quite accessible now as well, because you have their Sunday races, which are 3, 4.5, and 6 hours. And they every Sunday is one of them.
All right.
So it is quite, and also during that week, you're probably racing on that track on LFM. And then on the Sunday is an Enduro on it. So you're quite warmed up, right?
Yeah.
Easy to enter. And, you know, I mean, I'll just say this again. Like, for me, team racing is infinitely better than solo. It just is. You know, throughout my life, whenever I've done gaming, I've always tried to do it with people.
Yeah.
I always tried to share it. For me, solo games aren't as interesting. I don't really gravitate towards them. You know, the big solo adventures and role-playing games. Fun enough, I don't mind playing them with people, but I was never really a solo game player. And also, in more recent years, with online gaming, obviously, you have nowadays, I've always sought out like the online element of games and games that are basically online. That's how I tend to go. So,
yeah,
for me, sharing things is important. Racing can get a bit solitary. And also, I think for a lot of people in sim racing, you're probably a bit nervous about getting into a team.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, am I fast enough? Who do I don't know anyone. All these kind of things.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm really trying to, you know, as well as getting people into sim racing, I'm also trying to get more people into team racing.
Yeah.
Really important thing for me at Sim Cafe. And yeah, helping people get into sim racing, it's fairly straightforward. We just tell people to just tell us they want to get involved, and I do all the rest, match them up with people, get them the experience of it, and also try and get everyone to kind of race with everyone if we can, right? Because then the community really get to know each other, right? That's the goal. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of team racing, and at TSC, we're always trying to get more people into team racing. So, yeah, if you're interested in it, let us know.
Yeah, well, I will. It'll probably be next week, actually. I need to get my OBS back up and running. I'm looking with weary eyes on my old Elgato that's sitting here with a couple of wires still stuck in it, or HDMI ports empty. But I got new 8K HDMI leads. I'm hoping that might help to inspire me to actually dare go anywhere near it. That was the thing. I feel a bit like Mr. Bean trying to do these things with an Elgato, you know. It was like left with one wire and you don't know where nothing goes.
Oh, dear.
It is quite a thing. Now, out of interest, because ACC has been a platform that's been out there quite a long time. They've had a few new packs. We mentioned earlier the American pack. I think there was it a GT pack, or there was certainly the last year and a half they've had a couple of quite big updates. Do you think the platform will continue to have more updates, or do you think there'll be a new game coming to kind of take it further?
Yeah, it's a good question, because there is definitely a lot of uncertainty, I think, in the sim racing market. I'm sure there are people out there who know this a lot better than me, or perhaps you, what's going on. People closer to the businesses that are involved, businesses like Kudos, right, who run ACC and all these other things.
Yeah.
I don't think the recent packs were very interesting.
Yeah.
You bought it, I bought it. I don't think we use them. I don't race at COTA, Indianapolis, or Hold the Line. What's the other one? There's one more, isn't there? Apologies, I think. Is it Road America? I can't remember. And we're not using it.
Yeah.
We're not using it, are we? We're racing on all the other familiar ones, unfortunately. Yeah. So, it's...
I did like that when they introduced the BMW M2. I love that car.
I've not done it. I know some people have, and it adds a bit of variety. But I actually think they'd be much better off with a front-wheel drive car than doing another rear-wheel drive car, because we've got lots of rear-wheel drive in the game. It's all rear-wheel drive. So, you know, if you're really going to give us variety, I'd much prefer to see some kind of TCR that was front-wheel drive, just for a difference of dynamics, right? That's all it really amounts to, doesn't it? Yeah. Now, the ACC platform, I don't know. If I had to look into my crystal ball, they did promise GT2, didn't they?
That's what I thought. I thought they were going to be bringing out a new
game. Isn't it? Yeah,
and I think it was AC2, wasn't it? Or a set of Corsa number 2. That was supposed to be...
this is the point, isn't it, Hugh? We've got a set of Corsa 2 apparently coming out in Q2 of next year.
All right.
Okay. That's the word on the street. So they had the announcement months ago that it was in the financial reports. And then I noticed the other day there was a lot of press again about it. So someone's mentioned it again. Q2 2024. Now... I'm not even sure where AC2 is going to go, because we've already got AC and everyone loves it.
Yeah.
So I'm not entirely sure about what AC2 is going to achieve. It's going to be an interesting one. I think, you know, we shouldn't probably underestimate people's propensity or desire for the new.
Yeah.
Really. Right.
Yeah, because we'd all go out and buy it. I know I would certainly go out and buy it
I don't think there has to be too much. But the thing is, you have to argue, what are they going to really do that they haven't done in AC? They can up the graphics a bit because the base AC graphics are fairly low compared to...
Yeah.
Have you heard about, you know, Soul and CFP? All the things you can do to AC to modernize it. So I'm guessing that will be in the game, right, rather than it being an unofficial mod. So you can improve the graphics a bit. I don't know, I'm just a bit confused because so many people have like libraries of hundreds of mods and stuff like this for AC1. So to pay for AC2 and then not have mods yet, or whatever way it's going to...
It's going to be a new challenge for the mods to actually make the new...
I don't know the system that well, but something's got to give here. And also, I think one of the appeals of AC is it runs on a potato, as we say, right?
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure AC2 won't. AC2, you'll need a high-spec PC, I'm guessing.
I suppose. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, there's other things as well, in terms of, like, when we look at the recent Forza release and all the hubbub around it, right? I think we should probably remind ourselves that consoles and PCs have not changed much in power in the last few years. And so what are we really going to see any difference in graphics compared to what's already out there? Because most people will tell you they have to lower the graphics settings on their current games.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure if another game is really going to come out and sort of wow us in that way. And we are going a bit off the ACC tangent here, talking about AC2, but I think it's all kind of relevant because ACC, if this is one company, Kunos, who can't manage too many things, ACC may be something they've already... pushed to the side as more and more interest builds in AC2 for next year and them not being able to be late for it and not being allowed to be late. Maybe ACC is, I don't know, I don't want to say it, but done. Like, I mean, it's my favorite sim ever by far, but maybe they're going to sunset it in a way. Now, I think the biggest thing here in the last year or so was the 1.9 update for ACC, which came out a little while ago, and that created a whole load of interest and spiked the player jump much more than any content pack, which is quite interesting. And now I would say that maybe the game's in a state where it doesn't really particularly need updates. To the actual game, there's a few bugs, but there's nothing serious, and most people can happily run a lot of races without a problem.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's updates they need to do. Content updates is another matter, and again, what can they really add to this game other than, like I said, front-wheel drive car or maybe the GT2? But I fear that the GT2 maybe won't happen because I think they kind of made noise like it was going to happen this year.
And it hasn't.
It hasn't. And now AC2 is coming. I don't see them suddenly wanting to do more effort for this. So that's my thought. I think, unfortunately, ACC may be done now, funny enough.
Yeah.
That might be it. That really might be it for them.
Because it'd have to be a big new series or something to make it. And I suppose paying for licenses for these kind of games is probably a big cost.
Yeah, apparently licenses are up in the air for SRO. I don't understand that side of things too clearly, to be honest.
Yeah.
But apparently the SRO license, which is kind of the series, this is all based on the tracks and cars, apparently up for grabs. I don't know how true that is. I think we hear different things from different YouTubers, so I'm not going to say too much. I don't know where it goes for ACC. And could they not just incorporate effectively ACC into AC2, right? Whatever content they have, just move it over. Because why keep splitting your payer base, your dev base, all that kind of stuff? Just keep everyone in one place. I see iRacing has one platform, right? No, they wouldn't dream of splitting their player base. So, ACC, I mean, we love it. If it didn't make any more updates, would we be that sad? Like, is there a problem?
Yeah.
I think there is, to be honest. But it does put in an interesting position.
Yeah, unless it was like GT2 and GT1, then it would be a bit more, that would be something. But then again, that's a huge step to try and incorporate something like that into a game that's already got its kind of main character, isn't it?
And that's the thing. If they know that people just want the GT3 cars, really. And, they could keep the game alive because, I think Aston Martin just announced, haven't they, excitingly, that they're going to be doing more GT3 and 4 in the future.
Yeah.
A big announcement the other day. I mean, poor Audi had pulled out, but that's another story. Aston Martin announcing plans to do more. So people will want those cars. The new Ford GT cars that are coming out, right? I think people would love to see those. I think you wouldn't need to do any more than that to kind of keep the ACC player base happy, really. And preferably they didn't charge for it. But I think they could just release a few more GT3 cars as they come out, and that'd be enough. I mean, there's a few tracks on the calendar they don't have. Everyone's excited about the possibility of Nordschleife now because it's finally on the SRO calendar next year.
All right. Oh, that's quite good, isn't it?
Well, that was the whole thing. You know, everyone wants Nordschleife on ACC, but it can't have it because it's not on the calendar. Now it is. So there's a lot of talk around that. Who knows?
Now, one of the things that you haven't fallen for as you're stuck growly to your PC games you haven't yet got a PS5, have you? Have you haven't been tempted to come on and try a console?
You know what, Hugh? I mean, don't get me wrong. I do love console gaming. I have an Xbox Series X, right?
Yeah.
The sim racing world on console isn't very strong.
Yeah.
And it's just stronger on PC in a lot of ways, right?
Yeah.
Gran Turismo 7 kind of interests me, like, on its own as a game.
Yeah.
I like the way that it celebrates car culture. Right. I do like that about Gran Turismo.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Just some silly things sometimes, right? And the fact that it's so polished. So I do think that sometimes I just enjoy that experience, but it is a whole beast on its own. And, you know, we've only got so many hours in the day, right?
Aye.
And, there's a lot of games and things out there that I'd love to sink my teeth into, but I'm just like, where do I get the time to really do it properly?
Yeah.
And Gran Turismo 7 would definitely fit into that. It would be a wormhole for me getting into that. Yeah. So now I'm happy with my PC sim race. And like I said to you earlier, it's a very small audience. It really is, ultimately.
Yeah.
I mean, 2,000 concurrent players on ACC normally, which is not a lot.
No,
you look at console gaming, you're probably in the tens of thousands for most games.
Even to be fair, they've seen an improvement, I think, in ACC on PS5 because they did a big update for that. And I've got it. It works on my PS5 really well. Actually, I have played a few times in that, and I've enjoyed that. Actually, it's been quite decent.
You played it on PC, right?
So I think the difference is much less now between PC and console, I think, in terms of the dynamics of it. And it's still in that bit that always gets me, because you don't even think you've lapsed in concentration, but you have, and you just break that a little bit late and you go run wide, especially like Misano, that wretched. you go through the first chicane, that goes well, really well, and you come to that little, the next wee bit, and there's that kind of double right, and then you can't keep the car over to the right, and then if you go over to the left, it bounces over the curve, and it runs wide on the other side, and it's just one of these things, you know, and it's like...
I know your pain. I asked, so we've got Luke Addison, who's obviously a very fast South African sim racer, right, and I popped on his stream the other day, and I asked him, I said, Luke, you know, what's the one thing that you think made you faster? Right? If you can just give us the simple answer. And he said, time on track.
Yeah, just practice, isn't it? Yeah.
You can do bad practice, but I think in reality, if you spent 1,000 hours in a row, as it were, racing on a wheel, no matter what practice you did, you'd probably be more handy with that wheel and would be more controlling of cars. So, and that's probably a fairly general thing. Like, you could play different sims, you could argue, and have a better, feel of a wheel and pedals, regardless of the sim in the end. But the practice makes perfect, you, unfortunately, for us.
I sometimes I do find I quite enjoy doing time trial on GT7 because they've started that every Thursday morning.
Right.
Do a new time trial. And I've just missed the goal time on the new one. I didn't.
Only have the ghost you're racing?
Well, I see. I'm reticent of using the ghost. I think I should be good enough to get that time by myself, and I just don't get them. So that's the one. But I sometimes get them. To be fair, I do, but usually by pulling out my hair to try and get an annoyment.
Yeah.
But there are because you do learn. I thought, well, I want to learn the lines of the track. I want to try and prove to myself that I can get there. Because sometimes the ghosts are doing things that you wouldn't be doing in normal racing.
Bit of an exploit situation. Well, I think that's a real big contention for me at the moment, Hugh, funnily enough, right? I'm having this problem where I could be faster in ACC if I just listen to other people. Because there's things like track tightening where it shows you, where you broke and where you accelerated on a lap. And then what the perfect lap does, breaking, accelerating. And if you just change your inputs to match that one, technically, you'll be quicker. And that's kind of, for me, though, it starts to lose the magic a little bit, if I like. Yeah, because now I'm just following numbers and lines and that makes sense. Well, like you say, prove to yourself that you can make yourself quicker. That's almost part of the challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, but I've not been very successful at
this. Don't ruin it. We're building a really romantic story.
My ego has taken a battering.
We're building a really romantic story here, right? Just go with it. So the idea of actually just improving myself is a really nice idea.
The people behind me were very good. They didn't need ghosts to do it. But unfortunately, I think I do.
Well, Hugh, there's another thing as well, which, the people in my community, some of the really fast ones, who use extra apps information when they're playing ACC. And I mean, technically, it's not cheating, but it does pose interesting questions for me, right? One of those examples is what it does is over your tires, you know, on ACC, you've got your tires in the bottom right, right?
Yeah.
Imagine if you put an overlay over that so that every time you turned, it flashed red if it was getting a bit too much on the edge of grip. So what you'd be doing is as you're turning, you'd be looking to the bottom right, and if it starts flashing, you would just ease off the wheel a bit, wouldn't you? Or the throttle. And in reality, you'd probably end up going a lot faster because you're never oversteering or, you know, missing the grip or losing grip and then trying to correct all that stuff. A massive braking bar across the middle of your screen, a huge one. Imagine that. Imagine a huge braking bar across the middle of your screen so that every time you release the brake, you'd never do it quickly because you see this big bar, right? So it's not the game in itself. You're trying to move it slowly across. But then I think you start to distill things a little bit and we start to, you know, do this to get that and you will do that. And I don't know really where I stand with it because I could download all these apps and I'd probably be quicker by now. So what am I doing? You know, what am I missing out on?
I think it's an interesting question, though, because at least with ACC, you're in a more realistic sim. So you are kind of looking at the things of trying to go quicker. So looking at the actual, the hard kind of facts or you're driving. It's almost like having a driver engineer with you, isn't it?
And
getting that kind of instruction, seeing where you can go quicker. I think I prefer that to what they do in Gran Turismo, which is, you know, they bang down the gears of where in real life it either wouldn't change or it would blow up. Because it helps you to brake. So that annoys me a little bit. And then also, but what more annoys me more with the game is sometimes like the track limits idea as well, where certain tracks, the track limits are ridiculous and you're not even anywhere near the road. And I think they should have a bit more realistic and ways of actually staying on the road would be a bit more, staying on the track would be a bit more realistic. And also what really got me, if I really get onto my grumbles, is when you do a time trial or you do a lobby or a server for doing your time trial for like a race, they change the weather. Or you'll find, you know, you'll spend half an hour trying to do a quick lap and you find that you can't get quicker than the one you did a few hours before because the wind direction has changed. And I think, well, if they're going to do that, can they not keep it the same? Or it's a,
in certain circumstances that would be useful.
You know, because it's not really fair. Because if you don't have that much time, you know, people are playing it all day for some of the top guys. But if you want to come in and play and enjoy it, it's like they had one at Le Mans. Now, it was a great race at Le Mans. It was one of these ones where you could have dry weather and wet weather and so on. But the qualifying, for about 45 minutes, every time I went into a server, it started to rain at the end of the first lap. So my lap time was great for the first three quarters of it. And then, of course, the last quarter, it was wet. And I couldn't be anywhere near the times that the other guys were doing because you just go straight off the track. And eventually you had to reset the server until eventually you would get a lap or two that was consistent. And then try and be consistent or realizing when it was still dry that you might have a chance here and don't go off. So that was the thing, because as Tijney said on his channel, he hates wasting time. And that was the same. So in that way, that's my grumble. Of Gran Turismo.
Changing conditions,
But I think ACC doesn't really have that, though, does it? It's actually a pretty good sim, the way it's set out.
Do you know what? That would depend totally on your lobby rules. Do you know what? If anything, ACC isn't really the best for that because it doesn't really allow what you might call like time slots in a race. So what you'll find with a lot of sims is, and I think Gran Turismo might do this, is it effectively allows you to create a few different weather conditions one after the other, right? So you can say it'll be dry, and then it'll be wet, and then it'll be dry, for example, right? You have like weather slots. On ACC, you can't do that. You can only have one fixed weather setting, so anything from dry to light to medium to heavy rain, whatever, constant, or you have a randomness level.
All right.
And that randomness level, you can't dictate. Other than to say whether it's very random or not very random. And then you can decide like roughly the weather conditions of the area. So is there a lot of rain in the area? So the randomness is from, you know, light to heavy rain sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it is a bit of a lottery for the online server system, which I'm always trying to get right when I'm doing my wet races as well. So whenever you open a server on ACC, it will be a new condition. If you do the randomness level and if you leave the server and come back, it will be totally different. So it is a bit of a lottery on ACC. It's not the easiest one to configure. But the weather conditions on ACC are brilliant. Yeah, I do enjoy it. And I love wet racing. So we try and do at least one wet race a week on the track. Because you don't see it on the proper lobbies, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's quite rare that you get a wet race, isn't it?
Very rare.
Yeah. But how do you find, because you've played ACC for a number of years now, and I remember my first ever kind of endurance race where I did it in the previous community, and we were driving the AMG Mercedes, and I got round, I think it was either Bathurst or Spa, one of the two, and of course I got around the three quarters of the track. I think actually it was Bathurst coming into the chicane at the bottom of the street, when you have that little curve, and of course the car, forget all the weights in the back, full tank of fuel, and I thought, great, I made up like four or five places, and I spun off into the gravel. It was always a thing. It's funny how you kind of learn as you play that game how to go quicker, because I've seen you do 218s at Spa. My best is like a 220.7 or something. So how do you explain to us what's been the thing? Because you've really got your times down on tracks like that.
Oh yeah, thanks for that. You might be hearing some laughter in my community for anyone who's tuning in right now. I'm probably not known as being the fastest in our community, to be fair. But it's all relative, right? And like you say, you feel like I'm going fast, so I'll take that compliment. Some of my times at Silverstone when I was racing in the Enduro a few weeks ago weren't too bad, really. They were getting fairly competitive. At Spa, I'm getting into the 218s, which isn't bad. Okay, so the first question was, how do I get faster? Well, we said it before, it's practice, right? Let's face it. Let's not go anywhere with that. Do some practice, regular practice. What I'm trying to work out, Hugh, is if I can practice once or twice a week, will I just gradually get better? I think you need a fairly constant stream of wheel time somehow, whatever it takes, right? An hour a day, half hour a day, maybe. I think that might be more effective than, say, doing 5 hours once a week. Put it that way.
Yeah.
Right? Nice. So I think that constant stream of using it. I've been constantly tweaking my equipment. I'm very, very lucky to have an incredible set of pedals now, which were kind of a bit of a sort of half gift from someone in the community who wanted to get rid of them on the cheap. So I've got some really amazing pedals, and that helps a lot because they're incredibly consistent. So I can focus on that. Yeah, it makes a big difference. And there are lots of apps out there that would make me faster, but I'm not going to pretend I've used them. I think for me, I get a lot of my speed from being in a pack. So if I'm racing in a pack of fast cars, I can very quickly start to mimic what they're doing and get to a similar pace, I find.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Everyone learns different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, if I'm in a pack in a race, or even if it's a practice session, for example, I would find myself getting quite quickly. I've done some of my PBs, and I think other people in the chat might agree with this. I've done some of my PBs on tracks with someone just behind or just in front of me. Because that really heightens me up and gets me focused. Being alone on a practice track, I struggle to push myself to a high level. You know, like you hear about the best athletes when they're on the training pitch, they're already playing like it's the cup final.
Yeah.
And that's what makes them the best. That's why I'm not the best. Mm. When it comes to practice, I struggle to match that kind of intensity that I would have in a race, right? Or a tense moment. So I found a lot of my best racing comes from being in packs. So maybe racing is what makes me faster.
You know,
that kind of thing. And watching. So actually, when you're doing the Enduro, one of the real benefits is your teammates in the same car, same setup.
And if
they're going faster than you, you can't do much worse than watch their lines and gears. And I actually had that in the Silverstone race with Barry going a lot faster than me, and then me copying his, I was able to match his and go the fastest.
Yeah.
So he was doing, different lines and brakes and gears to me, and when I just copied it, I did go a lot faster. So, yeah, I think, having that kind of one-to-one tuition with someone, actually watching their lines or being in a pack of cars is definitely what works quickest for me.
It's amazing how it all comes forward and how people are learning and so much on sims now. I mean, I remember talking to David Perel a few years ago, and he said that at the time Gran Turismo was his number one pick for doing practice, and he said go for no more than, I think it was 90 minutes at very most. And then kind of keep going over the times and then back off and so on and do all the bits. He had a whole structure of how to do it. But now there's so many sim races out there that are really very good drivers. And I think as the sims improve, if you give them a time or a chance on track, and it will show some light of quality there. I always remember.
What do you mean in real life? Or
yeah, I think they are gaining a skill. I think if you're looking at something like ACC and maybe even F1, to be fair, there is a skill that is learned. And some of the guys that have done extremely well on F1 have gone on to do these kind of more, or they get a chance maybe to test a car
Yeah.
Or to do something, or they go to the big Formula One simulator and they have a go in that. And that's going to be much more realistic to what the real car is like. And it's kind of amazing when you see that happen as to how it all goes. I remember doing, I think it was either AC or GT Sports, and I won a competition to go to Mercedes Land at Brooklands. And they had the really good simulators there and stuff. But when we actually drove a real car, it was a Mercedes C-Class. It was a C43 AMG. Right. It was a four-wheel drive version. And I actually, they had this kind of performance track, which was very tight, kind of like a handling track. Mm. It was easier to drive that car in real life than it was on GT Sport. It was genuinely easier. Now, maybe that was just my equipment, maybe my Logitech.
Maybe it's just your skill levels, Hugh, are too high for the rest of us. Let's face it.
It turned in when you expected it to turn in. You know, it braked nice and smooth. It was kind of it was quite consistent. And I thought, my goodness, in the road cars, especially on GT Sport, they can be an absolute handful. Now, maybe they put the wrong tires on them and the dynamics change because of that. But when I was amazed at how much in real life it was actually, it felt a lot less hard, you know, a lot easier, a lot less hard work.
not being on stream, is it? That's pressure. Yeah. That's real pressure.
Yeah, yeah, well, I did a video of it a while ago. It's on the channel, right when we're back in the history of it.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm wondering, because, and I think this actually fits into what Max Verstappen is doing. So, of course, if you follow Max outside of F1, which is normally a better thing, I find. He's obviously big into sim racing, bless him, huge, big sim racing fan, can't get enough of it, can he? He's got his team Red Line, all that kind of stuff. And the next thing he's talking about, I mean, he talked about building a sim, didn't he, a year ago? That was a weird one. Him and Heineken apparently were partnering to build a sim. I was like, okay. But beyond that, his current thing is helping people get into GT3 driving. Have you heard about this? He wants to help shorten the route to GT driving, because he's saying at the moment anything you do is go into karting and then driving. Obviously, karting is very expensive compared to sim.
Yeah.
So he wants to help find more routes for people to get into GT and Formula driving from sim racing.
Right.
And I think his team's a part of that. Now I'm wondering, like, I don't know a lot about GT racing from the past 20 years, right?
Yeah.
Other than it seems to be wealthy men.
Yeah.
And if you're wealthy and you want to drive, join the GT series. There didn't really seem to be much of a skill barrier there in reality, right?
Yeah.
With the amateur sort of classes and all those kind of things. But I'm wondering now, with like this legion of GT3 skilled drivers that we're creating through sim racing, are these the people that go into GT in the future, rather than people who are, you know, kind of effectively, dare I say, a bit rich and bored? We're not going to have people that actually want a GT career, right? I'm sure there's a lot of people now growing up who want to get into GT racing, and that probably wasn't the case before.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering how that's going to affect the levels of skill and maybe entertainment in GT racing in the future, really. I'm curious to see what effect all this sim racing is going to have on the GT racing world, because right now the only people who do it are wealthy older men. We've got a whole legion of GT sim racers out there that are honing, as you said, honing a skill. I'm curious to see what kind of impact that could have on GT racing in the future. We saw James Baldwin, bless him.
Yeah.
He did well, didn't he? He smashed it. He went in and smashed it in the British series. Like, obviously, he's an alien in sim racing, but there's quite a few people of James's pace in sim racing, it seems, when he fights in the big tournaments. So, a whole world of GT drivers out there who really could get involved in the future. So I'm wondering what that will mean for the sport. I've no idea. I don't follow GT racing that closely in real life.
Yeah.
In reality, I like to watch the big events, the 24s and stuff like that. You hear certain names crop up quite often, like, you know, Marcello and stuff like that, Raphael. But I'm wondering what impact all this sim racing will have on GT racing in the future. I'm not sure about Formula One, what you just mentioned, because that is a very specific
top of the pyramid niche. More single seaters, or maybe a chance for them to get into something. I always remember the great Jeremy Clarkson quote. I think he was test driving some Mercedes AMG special that they had done. I think it wasn't the Gullwing, but it was one of the really fast ones that it made into you could race it. And he said, normally, if your name is Baron von Industrialist, this is the car that you drive at the weekend, you know. And it was exactly for what it is, you know, that if you've got the money of an industrialist, you can afford to go racing because it's not cheap. But we've got some great questions here. Now, one is from Carlos.
Carlos, there you go.
He says, what does Jeff think of his TSC drivers, or how would he describe each one? It would be nice to hear.
Wouldn't it be Finn? So this is Finn from the community. Hello, good evening, Finn. So how would I describe the drivers in the TSC community? Well, we've got Crash and Bash, who's Shake and Bake, Sydney and Fipsy. I'm actually racing with them next weekend in a 6-hour Silverstone race, which is actually being hosted by Williams. Williams, the racing team, is sort of getting a bit more into sort of building their own gaming community. Yeah. They invited us along. So I'm racing next week in a 6-hour Silverstone with Fipsy and Sydney. They are both very fast. It seems like the fastest in our community at the moment is Steve Wretch.
Yeah.
Steve actually came round here on Monday evening, funnily enough, popped round. And he had a go in my rig. And everything he tried, every sim, every car, you could just see the talent, right?
Yeah,
it was horrible. It was, you could see the control, you know, the speed at which he picked up anything on any track, pretty much, and was just throwing, and in a way that you could tell that I wouldn't be comfortable doing. And he was chatting to me as we were doing it, so he wasn't like locked in.
I can't do that.
Right? You know, he wasn't locked in, but he was just chatting away. He was going real fast. So I think potentially Steve's the fastest. I think Finn shows probably some of the most potential out there, really, doesn't he? Good old Carlos. He is one of the youngest in our community. He, whenever he jumps in the car, seems to be exceptionally quick. He was doing 2 flat Panorama, which is just crazy times. Yeah, horrendously quick.
Yeah,
So he's a fast boy, but obviously has a lot of study to do. So his time isn't always his own, as it is with being a young man. Who else have we got in the community? We've got Poops, who I've enjoyed racing with. Good old Jason. He's the king of Watkins Glen.
Hate Spa
came from Gran Turismo, like a lot of you guys. And I think that's probably why, because Watkins features quite heavily on Gran Turismo, doesn't it? He's the king of Watkins, and I've really enjoyed enduro racing with him. We've got Jensen, Damian Jensen, our Danish friend, who is very, very fast. He likes to be fast, but I think he's a bit too much of a rock star to be quick all the time. So he sometimes, he's all over the place. We had a good race together. I was winding him up, trying to make him chat loads in the stream while he was racing. So that's quite good fun. Who else have we got? We've got loads of different people. We've got Juan. We've got Ty. Ty and me always seem to be on track at the same time together. You know, there's always that person in the community you're always fighting.
That's it.
Me and Ty seem to be doing that somehow. It's growing. It's great to see people there. We've got the Clarkson brothers. We've got Jerry Clarkson, or Jeremy, I think, and a few others in there. And so on and so forth. I'm sure I've missed a few names out. You know what these people like. But it's a great bunch. It really is a good bunch. And I think maybe we're all slowly improving together, especially in team racing, because I think it's new to a lot of us.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
I hope that answers your question, Finn. What do I think of the TSC racers? I think they're a horrible bunch, and I'll be better off without them. But what can you do, Hugh? I'm stuck with them now. I'm stuck with them. How about that?
Oh, it sounds good. Now, there's been a couple of attempts to ask this question, so I better make sure I ask it. There is a question of, you must describe your double overtake. So there must have been a race with a double overtake that I missed.
Hugh, I wasn't going to mention it, right? I wasn't going to mention it, you know? I feel like, I think that it speaks for itself, really, doesn't it? I mean, you've got the headline there. Yeah. But maybe that's not all the story, Hugh. Maybe I can fill you in with a bit more colour,
Yes.
Maybe detail. I could tell you that this is a double overtake during a 6-hour endurance race.
Wow.
There's the face drop. There we go. I'll add a bit more. It was my outlap.
My goodness. Yeah.
My tyres were stone cold.
And you overtook.
My tank was heavy, Hugh. It was heavy. I'm at Silverstone, right? We're at Silverstone. It's a 6-hour endurance that I mentioned recently. I've come out of the pits. I've said on the stream, let's settle in, right? And there's 2 cars fighting in front of me for position. And we're a few hours into the race. So that's a bit unique because, you normally get so close. But here I am. I've come out of the pits, 2 cars fighting for position dead in front of me. And I had a good feeling that, and apologies, I don't know the names very well. You know, you've got Maggots, Beckett's, and then Chapel. You go down the straight, and then that's not the Wellington straight, is it? That one after Maggots, Beckett's, and Chapel, that straight is Hanger or Wellington. I never get them right.
I think it's Hanger Street is the one after after Maggots and Beckett's, I think.
And then at the end of that, you've got the fast right-hander, right?
Yeah.
And I knew that they were not going to take that very fast. I could see them fighting each other. They went one way, then the other. I did a very, very tense switchback on it. Very close to the car in front, because you have to be as close as possible, right? And then got me the inside for that very quick, tight right-hander, the very short, slow, tight right-hander. And that was it. I was through. The crowd went wild. I still haven't slept since. you know, murals are being painted in my honour. I think they're renaming the corner at Silverstone after me. So, that's. I hope that gives people some idea of the double overtake. I mean, there's clips everywhere online. Just Google it, you know.
But
a real miracle for racing. My teammates, I feel sorry for them. They had to live through it. They probably weren't expecting that, to be fair.
They were probably thinking, there goes the front of the car.
He'll back out of this one, right? So, that was interesting. But I really enjoyed it. And just to remind you, double overtake, enduro, around the outside. Beautiful. It was good fun.
Yeah. I always remember it was at one of our old community races. And I started 22nd or something on 21st. And I made it up to 11th on the first lap. And I managed to do it, and then I got taken out by somebody on like lap two that touched me. But we did. I'd always find that at that time I would make up so much on the first lap when everyone was going quite slow. That's where I found I could get my way forward. But then trying to keep a hold of the car, that was the trickiest thing, and kind of calm it down and
get into the grind.
That was fun. So what do you think? What's your next step for the next 6 months? What are your goals for the next 6 months?
I'm retire now, right? I've done it. We've built a community of people that I can't stand, and you know, just want to see the back of me. I've peaked in my pace, right? I had a terrible summer, Hugh. My pace disappeared. We don't want to talk about that. I've been talking about this. I struggle a bit in the summer.
Yeah, maybe it's the heat.
I struggle a bit. Like in the winter, I enjoy getting in the rig to do a few laps to practice, right?
Yeah.
In the summer. I can't stand it. I'm too hot and you get all sweaty. Yeah. So I wasn't doing any practice for my streams. And I'm turning up to these streams and every race was just getting worse and worse. And my ELO, my rating in LFM, and I'm on a road to 2K, right? That's my big stream series. Road to 2000 ELO. It started going up and up and up, hit 1700. And then from the summer, all the way down again. You know, I'm trying to hit 2000. I started at 1000, got to 1700, then went down to 900.
All right.
Lower than where I started. And then since the autumn, I've been climbing, crawling back up again, doing a bit more practice because it's getting a little bit milder. As I said, a double win recently, stuff like that. Three wins. It was weird. It took me, I had one win in 150 races and then I won three in my last six.
Well, that's all right.
So definitely improving again recently. The new pedals have really helped. They're very consistent, that kind of stuff. So what does the next 6 months hold? Well, at TSC, we're always growing, right? Always want to get more people in, want to get more people into sim racing. I would love to grow the Pass It On project. So there is a kind of chance I could have like a second PC and wheel and everything available to people to get more and more people around, right? And in circles. So that'd be good. And there is Squadra TSC as well, which is a little kind of project that we've been doing on the side, trying to get that going. We have TSC racing, right? I told you I want to get people into team racing, right? And we're doing that with like, you know, just sort of turn up and have fun together sort of thing. But some people want something a bit more serious than that.
Yeah.
So Squadra TSC is meant to be a bit more organized, you know, get us into a team endurance championship, that kind of thing. Couple of teams. We are kind of still putting the plans together for that. We'll make sure we do it right. But I think that's one of the big things, getting together a slightly more organized racing team or two for the community, so people can really get stuck in. We do want to keep building the community. That's the next 6 months. I want to get team racing happening on weeknights. So I don't know if you ever did this with us back in the day, Hugh, but you'd have like a 60-minute or, you know, a 90-minute or 40-minute race on a weeknight with a team.
I used to love
a driver swap, right?
Oh, I never did the driver swap, but I used to love the 3 20-minute races. They were always good fun.
Driver swaps on a shorter race. Because the thing is, when people say team and that, they think, oh, 8 hours on a Sunday, here we go, I'm lost, right? I can't do that.
But
on a weeknight, you can. If you can make it short. And funnily enough, LFM do this now, don't they? They've got the LFM Duo Cup, which is two drivers in a 60-minute race. And that's the kind of thing I love because, again, you're getting the team element of sharing. You might do some practice together, so you get to share your practice, that kind of stuff. And I do want to get team racing in the future for the Sim Cafe. It's not going to be easy. We'll keep going. We're not in the pandemic times anymore where people are just flocking to Sim racing. We're not like that anymore. But I do want to keep building the TSC. I want to keep building the community, get more people into team racing. Get more and more people on the Sunday LFM races because we've got like 3 or 4 teams that enter now. It's brilliant.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, grow that. Grow the community. Grow Squadra TSC. That's it, really. Not too much. I mean, I don't think there's any other racing games out there that are going to do anything. Because that's a whole other topic, right? I mean, Forza just come out and I can't even play it.
Yeah, they're saying it was crashing all the time, wasn't it?
I'm doing something wrong, Hugh. Every single time I go to an online lobby, the game crashes out, closes. I've managed, I think I've tried maybe 8 times now. One of them loaded a stream a week ago. For some reason, it worked. And I think I got lucky because then the next lobby crashed in the same game. So I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Maybe it's a graphic setting, but then that shouldn't be my problem, should it?
No.
Right? No. I haven't done anything unusual. And I play lots of other Sims. They all work, or games. Yeah. So there's clearly a lot of bugs. It's quite frustrating. I do want to try the thing is, everyone talks about single player, but as I said to you earlier, I don't really have any interest in that. I've got to be honest. I only want online racing, and I can't do it. So I'm very frustrated. It's kind of like it's our Gran Turismo, right? Because, you know, I haven't got a PlayStation, so it's our Gran Turismo. It's our simple variety mixed, always got a lobby racing. Maybe it'll be good, I don't know. But there's certainly a lot of up and down talk about it. So, yeah, that Forza isn't really going anywhere. AC2 is a little while away. Red Sport.
there was a big update about that recently, wasn't there? They made a big thing about it.
Yeah, stealing code. And then they're not stealing it. But the problem is they've been telling everyone it was all proprietary, new code. And it obviously isn't. Why lie about that? I don't get it.
Yeah. I've got that on my PC, to be fair, but I haven't played it for a long time.
You got Red
Sport? Not Red Sport. R Factor 2.
Which
is supposed to have improved quite a bit.
No one plays it. Oh, recently. Yeah big update. Huge. Turned it into basically like iRacing. So you've got a safety rating and a rating and ranked lobbies and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Player base is tiny. Everyone talks about feeling like the best sim.
Yeah.
Okay, but...
I played it a few times over the last year or two. I can't see it. There were some good races. I quite liked some of the F1 cars that you got.
There's no atmosphere there, right?
No, it's not quite... It was okay. I did like the touring cars. The touring cars were good. They were quite fun. I think they might even have more touring cars now on it than they used to. I think they've added one or two more. I think it was just the Honda and the Toyota they had at the start. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing. We never quite managed to cover the Forza thing because it's a whole different ball game. I know Ron Alexander. He's up to 90,000. Subsidies just got 90,000 and heading for 100,000. And since he's done the Forza streams, my goodness, because he did it from day one, he's getting nearly 1,000 people watching at a time. He's kind of breaking records left, right, and center. But it's an interesting game. I've never really played it at all. I never had Xbox or anything like that, so I never really played it. I remember watching Super GT doing his streams on it, and I would watch kind of 3/4 of the way through and then I'd give up. I don't know, it just didn't seem like much of an atmosphere or much of a kind of...
I know what you mean.
Compared to other games. GT Sport at the time, when it was like Gran Turismo 5 or 6 or whatever, just had a bit more. And then obviously when it was GT Sport, it had a huge amount more. But we'll see how that all pans out. I wasn't sure if you were going to be doing another LFM race tonight. I know you'd said you might have done one.
I think it's getting a bit late, to be honest with you. I think that boat sailed, to be honest. We'll just chat on if you want. Yeah, no, LFM can wait, you know. The thing is, I want to do it properly, and if I just turn up for a race without any practice, it'll end in tears. So I can save myself that misery. For anyone who is watching, apologies, I won't be streaming on the other channel. I'm going to knock that one on the head. We'll be back on Saturday night for Misano for that one. I'll leave the LFM for now. Going back to Forza... It's, you know, if it was only 90% as good as Gran Turismo 7, I don't think that'd be a problem because Gran Turismo 7 is a great game and 90% of that is a great game. And then it'd be for, you know, PC and Xbox people. So that's okay. Right now, it feels like it's about 20%. You know, so many things not working. And it's that whole, I could get into a whole grumble view about the state of modern gaming. You and I, sir, when we were younger, if you bought a game, it came on a cartridge or a disc or a CD,
and
that was the game complete, finished. Everything was on it. Everything ever that ever happened with the game was contained within the thing you bought, and then you played the thing you bought. And there might have been one or two bugs, but not often because they had to iron them out before they sold it. They had to. Now
I remember having to do it on a tape. I had to put it in a cassette player and put it on there, and it would get a bit. My brother would copy them from other sources. shall I say.
Yeah.
And after about 7 minutes, it would say error at line 9,040.
Yeah,
and that would be it. And you had to start it again on your old BBC B. That shows you my in the late 80s, early 90s. And I said, Kerr, it's just worth paying for the game next time. Just get the proper one. And then we got a disc drive for our Christmas. And that changed everything. But on a quick question here from Carlos, he's saying, does Jeff think SR is worth more than ELO?
No, not really. Obviously, SR is a safety rating of LFM, and ELO is the rating system of LFM, right? Mm. I think, was it, you're aware of Nils Narjox, Hugh, the big famous sim racer? Does a lot of things. Nils Narjox, right? I think it was him. Was saying that it might have been him, but in sim racing, there is, or indeed in racing, I guess, there's this really weird contract between you and the other drivers.
Yeah.
Because you're all fighting each other,
hmm.
but you're also being nice to each other.
Yeah.
So who's going to be the nicest and who's going to be the less nice and most aggressive?
Yeah.
And then who's probably going to win?
Yeah.
Right? So there is a weird kind of interesting balance and dichotomy between everyone on the grid in that you've all got to kind of help each other out, haven't you?
Yeah.
And get along together
and
stuff. While fighting and trying to beat them and getting one up on them effectively. So, it's a bit of an interesting one there in sort of how you approach it. But I think for me, the best drivers are probably fairly safe. But where's Max fit into all of that, right? I mean, good old Maxie boy, ramming Lewis off in 21, didn't seem to get him any trouble. So, I think having a safety rating is useful. But the ELO would always be king, right? We always want to know what our actual speed is, really. Yeah, because you could have the highest safety rating by just cruising in the back, I guess. Yeah, so I think Finn or someone said it in my chat really well yesterday, in that they said you want to be aggressive with a high safety rating, right? You want to be someone who can attack people, and then your safety rating is still high, right? You don't want to be worrying about your safety rating when you're going for a race, because that's not racing, is it? Let's face it.
Yeah.
And you'd like to think that the best drivers are probably achieving both without thinking about it, because, you don't want to go into a race and be safe. I've had to do it in LFM. You know, your safety rating needs to be a certain number. So there are times when you'll find yourself
being very careful. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's less and less racing. You can feel it. You're less and less of a racer the more worried you are about a safety rating.
Yeah.
And don't get me started, Hugh, on penalties in sim racing that don't match real life. Let's not go there. All right. And you see stop go 30 penalties for speeding in a pit lane in a virtual world should not happen.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
In the real world, these things are important, right? You imagine speeding in a pit lane, you're risking people's lives.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no such thing in virtual racing. And to see races getting ruined because people go like 2 kilometers over a pit limit.
It's a bit of a
It is a bit like, and also it's like in the sim world, if you have a big crash, you get 2 seconds, you get 30 seconds of damage. In the real world, you've written off hundreds of millions of pounds, and that's going to take a half hour to fix. But not everything is married perfectly. I think we need to stop marrying the penalties with things that don't really have an impact in the virtual world. Just to go on a bit of a tangent there while we're there.
No, it's true though, because it can ruin things. It's almost like going back to what we were saying about how, you know, the different servers can waste your time if the conditions change when they should be the same for like a qualifying or a time trial. So that's kind of the thing that they have to do. But I suppose you want it to be as realistic as possible. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I think
kind of. In some way,
or
you say that, but that's not true.
There's a balance, but
it's not true. There is a balance. There is always a
balance. Yeah, I think just to make it fair, because it's like in GT Sport or GT7, if you cut a corner or you miss something or you thump aside, you know that your lap is ruined. It's not going to make you any quicker if you spun off, and then you find that it gives you a penalty as well. We're hitting the barrier, so you just have to come out of the server and try it again. That's the only thing that you can do, you know. But a Fipsy is saying a 5 or 10 second penalty for speeding in the pit lane would suffice.
Yeah, because you're getting a marginal, and I mean marginal difference. Yeah. And of course, you could, you know, if they go 50 over, then they can get a massive penalty relative. Yeah. But stop go 30s, they're like 2 minutes. Nearly, you know, getting in the pit lane, stopping and going, no, 2 minutes. And it's like,
Especially at Spa. If you get that at Spa.
Yeah, there you go.
Or, and, you know, and I just think, a long pit lane.
We don't make everything identical, so I don't know why we're so keen on things like that that ruin a race. So yeah, I wouldn't mind if a few sim developers want to go easy on the old pit penalties in the future. That'd be lovely. No real special request there.
Jerry was saying, you know, that in Formula One before 1994, there was no limit in the pit lane.
I think before the 80s, there was no limit. And from the 80s to the 90s, it was quite high. But when you see it in the 70s and 80s, and they're flying into the pit, and then as soon as they're out of the box, and everyone's running from the pit wall to the box for the pit. Dashing across. Well, you saw the video the other day of the 1970s crash in somewhere in Europe, probably, and the car exploded and then rolled across the track while the cars were going, and then they're hosing down the car. It looked like you know the banked hairpin at Zandvoort. You know the very banked hairpin.
It looked identical
to that, basically.
Yeah,
you can imagine if the cars are rolling down to the inside, aren't they? This car's on fire. They're hosing it with a thick foamy thing, right? Really foamy water, hosing the car. And as cars are driving past between the hose and the car, they're dipping the hose a bit, and the car's driving over it, and then they lift the hose again and carry on. And he's doing this as cars are going past, hosing a car across the track with heavy foam as cars go in between them, and then this car starts rolling down the track on fire.
Good.
And the race is going on, and there's all people around. And I don't want to ask for those times again, but what I can only say is it was obviously a different atmosphere. It obviously creates a different excitement, a different buzz. If we start putting lives on the line, you know it gets people excited. What can you say? We'll always outlaw it, but that's, you know, that's the buzz, isn't it?
Yeah. I used to be a runner at local motorsport back in the late 80s at Ingolston in Edinburgh.
No,
it was fine. But they used to call us runners because before all the tech came along, when they did qualifying, it was all manually done on stopwatches. So everything was written down we were given the qualifying sheet from the race control, and there was two of us, so we had to run across to the edge of the pits and the board, and all the drivers would be waiting there. And it was a mixture of like Formula 4 drivers and touring cars, whatever the race was at the time, or not British touring cars, but smaller kind of feeder championships to that. And then we had to put it up on the board and then get out the way as fast as we could, because they would all the drivers would want to see what their times were. And it just shows you the difference. But many races, because it was a very dangerous track at Ingolston, they had trees lined along some of the corners, and quite often they'd crash into a tree, and there were some quite serious accidents. You saw everything. It was kind of mad, you know. And I think that obviously FIA has tried to improve obviously the whole safety and everything else, but in the old day it was crazy going to some motorsport events. I was at the Donington race when Mansell crashed into the wall, you know, when Tifty Dell touched the back of him. And he went flying off in his actual helmet, because he didn't have he just had a net on the side of his window rather than a window in the car. And his helmet actually hit the wall. When the car hit the wall, his head came out, and so his helmet came out of it and knocked him unconscious, or certainly kind of, you know, gave him quite a bump. And the atmosphere was pretty low. You know, everyone was wondering what on earth, because we were on the Craner curve, so we were just about a few hundred metres away from where it happened. But it was kind of, motorsport has been, it was crazy in those days. Thankfully now it seems to be a lot better, and hopefully we'll continue on that way. But no, it's quite a thing. Now, PDD Sim Racing have said, Robin and Rears are unsubbing because Jeff didn't give them a shout-out.
There we go. I told you. This is poop. I mentioned poop earlier. Wonderful. The king of Watkins, Glenn. I didn't mention Robin, no, because he's trouble, you know? And this is a test. This is a test for you. Rarish is a lovely gentleman. He seemed to be our liveries guy. So he is creating all the liveries for a Romanian living in the UK, in exile, clearly. And he's doing all our liveries, and he's made me some wonderful ones, and others in the community as well. But we don't talk about Robin. He's from the Valleys. So, you know, there's a lot more to be desired. But, and he gets paid to go to football matches. There you go. That's Robin's life. So the less we say about Robin, the better, I think, to be honest. So thanks for that, poop. Two less subscribers. I don't want subscribers anyway. Who needs them, honestly?
I do. I would like some,
give them to you. Give them to you. Push them over to Hugh. There we go. He can take them on. Do some GTA.
Oh, it's fantastic. As we come, we'll be going for an hour and 20 minutes. I won't keep you too much longer. What would you like to say to your community as we close up for tonight? What would be the words of encouragement for them all?
Do some laps. Come on. Honestly. Do some laps. I've heard all the excuses. We've seen it all. We talk about BOP. We talk about all these different things, balance of performance and all that. Let's just do some laps. No, genuinely, I just want to say to my community that I love you all. You're very special to me. I do want us to be as human as possible. So we're an online community, right, Hugh?
Yeah.
I really want us to be as human as possible. So I do little fun things like there's emojis for everyone's face on the Discord, right? So you can use everyone's little faces from the community as an emoji and stuff like that. Just to make us a little bit more real, right? Because it is a bit usernames and so on, isn't it, Hugh? And you don't see anyone's face or, you know, get to look in their eyes. So, yeah, I just want to keep things as human as possible. I want all of you to get to know each other as much as possible, because I think that's important as well, because I think it makes the community rating just a bit more fun. But, you know, it's like rating with your mates, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
So, yeah, I'll just say, you know, just keep doing what you're doing, gang. Never be nice to me, because we don't need that. I do not appreciate you. So, there you go. I think that says it all. If you're still around after that, then it's your own fault, really, isn't it, to be honest? At that point, I mean, we've got the horses and water. You know,
I was going to say, on that bombshell, we'll
on
end
that,
the show.
On that cracker, yeah. Road to 100 subs, here we go. Yeah.
If you had a manager, he'd be in the background saying, no, go to
commercial. Yeah, the mic would be not working. Hello? Is this working? I can't. Yeah. Redbubble. Go to Redbubble, guys. Check out Redbubble. There's your final thoughts. There we go.
Although it's been absolutely fantastic to have you on the show, Jeff. It's been a real pleasure and great fun. And it's great to see the community going so well. And we will get on to PC gaming. We will get involved and come along.
You're not going to avoid us. We'll get you on the ATC. Yeah. Well, I remember you smashing around those early laps. You're very aggressive on the early laps.
I caused a restart. I actually caused a restart.
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised.
At the Nürburgring. I was only been there about two or three times. And I came hearing through. I was honestly wondering, why are they all going so slowly?
Why are they all ghosting?
And then I realized, there's a hairpin right coming. And it was like, and there was no chance on cold tires, cold brakes, and me having any chance of stopping. And I couldn't avoid anybody. And that was that. But no, everyone was very nice to me afterwards.
Can't wait to have you back, Hugh.
Yeah, and thanks to everybody who's been watching tonight. It's been great to have you with us. Thank you so much for your questions and your comments. It's been great to see it all happening live as we've been on the show. And if you're new to the channel, we've got lots of interviews from the last few years with lots of big sim racers. But it's been great tonight to have Jeff, who has done so much on his channel. It's really, really good fun. So please support him if you haven't already subscribed to his channel. The link is in the description. And the Fipsy is saying that haircut is worth at least 2 tenths.
Look at that. It's not cheap. I'll tell you. Yeah. It works. It's worth
at least you've got hair. At least you've got
hair. If you want any advice, I am more than happy after stream to give you some tips on my hair routine. It might just work for you as well.
It's fantastic. We'll be back next week as well with our streaming, hopefully on Tuesday and Thursday. We are yet to have a guest confirmed for next week, but now that I do it, we're going to have every 2 weeks or so. If we can get them more regularly, we do. But if you know of anyone who is a great sim racer as well that wants to come on the show, then we'd always love to have them on. It'll be great fun. But now Roo has said he's asked about a hair question, but I can't see where the question was. Roo, this is your chance to write your question in capital. I used to say put it in capital so I don't miss it. A bit like the old, I get easily muddled. So it's.
Oh, it happens to you. It happens, totally.
Here we are. What does Jeff use to keep his hair standing up?
Well, you'll be shocked to hear a blow dryer.
A blow dryer?
So when I come out of the shower, I give it a little blow dry, and that gives it a lot of shape. Otherwise, and also, I don't know if you've heard of cow's licks, Hugh?
No.
Have you heard of cow's licks in hair?
No.
So it's when the hair goes like upwards, you know, like a weird kind of.
All right.
I've got two. Some people have one. I've got two that kind of push my hair up in a weird triangle. So, you know, people do a French crop where they shave their hair and then they put it down in a little.
Oh, knot. Yeah.
I can't do that. Look, I can't. It gets pushed up. So yeah, there you go. So it's not hard, to be honest. It just does its own thing. Yeah, my dad's 80s and he's got a full head of hair.
That's pretty good going. Yeah, none of our family are all bald in the male. Certainly,
just a waste of time. You don't need it.
You don't need the hair gel anymore. But no, that's the thing. Well, on that note, stay on the line, but we'll close the show. Thank you to everybody who's been watching. And of course, as the line always goes, drive fast, but drive your bus even faster. Take care, everyone. See you later. Bye just now.